It is good to be with you guys. We are currently not in a series, and so we are doing a little wake sidebar, which just means that we're just kind of having one-off message. And so today, we're going to talk about something that I wish whenever I was your age that I had known or I had been told, and that is God's plan for my time. What does God want me to do with my life? How does he want me to spend my time? Because I think that is something that is relevant to all of us here this morning. And so as we start, I want you to consider something real quick. I want you to think about, if I were to ask you right now, what is the most valuable thing that you own? What would you say? What is the most valuable thing that you own? Is it your new Christmas gifts? Is it your phone? Is it your money? For some of you, is it a Rubik's Cube? Is it the balloon you just took off stage? What is it that is the most valuable thing that you own? I'm going to give you 10 seconds and just be quiet, and I want you to think about that. Think about it. What is the most valuable thing that you own? So here's my hunch. I think that a lot of you probably didn't consider something that is, that all of us have. Every single one of us has it. And I think that it is the most valuable thing that every single one of us owns. Doesn't matter if you're a guy, a girl in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, or an adult. Every one of us has it. And it is the, I think, the most valuable thing that every one of us has. And I think it's your time. I think the most valuable thing that every one of us has right now in this moment is your time. Think about it. The past 30 seconds, you will never get those back. They're gone forever. You're never getting them back. You can never go back in time, right, to get those moments back. They're gone. You can buy another car. You can buy another phone. You can buy more clothes. You can get a lot of things if you lose them, right? But you can never get your time back, ever. It's gone in a moment just like that. And here's the other thing, is that you also never know when your time is going to be up, right? Every one of us, you don't know when your time here on this earth is going to end. Which means that you might have an hour, 2 hours, 3 days, 4 months, 10 years, 80 years. But you don't know. None of us know how much time that we have left. Which means that the only time you do know that you have is the time that you have right now. Which means that there's a scarcity of time. And what scarcity does is it creates significance. Whenever you have a small amount of something, or whenever you only know that you have a small amount of something, it makes that thing that you have very, very significant. And so if our time is scarce, it makes it incredibly significant. Like, just think about Popeyes, right? Look what happened to their chicken sandwiches, right? With a scarcity, it caused significance. I mean, those things went off the map, and people are, like, punching people to get them, right? Because they're significant, because there's not that much of them, right? And so the same is true with our time. Because you don't know when your time is going to run out, that means the time that you do have is infinitely valuable. And so this morning, we're going to talk about God's plan for your time. And I've already made the points that you don't know when your time is going to run out, and that once you've lost it, you can never get it back. But here's the other reality, is that every one of us knows that time flies, right? Anybody ever heard that saying, or anybody can feel that, right? Like, time flies. I can attest to this personally. Like, I felt like it was just the other day that I moved to Dallas to start school at Dallas Baptist. And then now I'm married and have a baby boy on the way. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where has time gone? I mean, that's 5 years of my life that feels like it was just a blink of an eye. And I guarantee you, some of you are like, ah, yeah, whatever. All the old people say that. But I'm telling you, before you know it, you're going to be graduated in college. You're going to be done. You're going to be in the real world. You're going to be out of here. You're going to be out of your parents' houses. Some of you married, who knows, right? But it flies. And here's what I think all of us fear. I think that because that is true, and because we know that that is true, some of us fear that we would use our time in a way that doesn't really matter at all. And that you'd spend your days, you'd spend your life, you'd spend hours and hours and hours just going about your life, not really ever knowing if it truly matters. That your life is truly significant. The way that we spend our time is vastly important to us. Every one of us knows that. And so this morning, I think what we've got to talk about is very, very significant. About God's plan for our time and for your life, that it would be meaningful and purposeful and fulfilling and honoring of the calling which God has placed on each and every one of your lives. And so we're going to talk about three things. That God's plan for our time is for us to know why we have time in the first place, that we know whose time it is that we have, and then thirdly, to know how to wisely spend our time. And so we're going to talk about those three things this morning. And the first of which we're going to talk about, and the most important, is we have to know why we have time in the first place. Like, why do I even have the breath that I have in my lungs right now? Why do I have the life that I have right now in this moment? And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And pull it up on your phone, pull out your Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read three or four verses, in verses 8 through 10. This is what it says. It's the word of God. It says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. But he is patient toward you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." So let me tell you what Peter is talking about and who he's talking to. At the time that he was living, there were some people that were mocking God and mocking Christians, saying that, man, God isn't going to come back. Like, I've heard these prophecies that God's going to come back, but the world has continued the same way that it always has since the very beginning of time. He isn't coming back. And the reason they're saying that is they're mocking God, basically saying, I'm going to live how I want to live, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And here's what Peter is telling you in this text, is he's saying that that is incredibly unwise. Because the reason that you have time, God is going to come back. Jesus one day is going to return. And he's saying that that day is going to come like a thief in the night. And the reason that you have time, the reason that all of us have time right now here in this moment, is so that you would come to repentance. Is what that text says. That God is not slow in fulfilling his promises, but he is patient toward you, desiring that no one should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Here's what he's saying, right? Some of you may have seen this illustration before. It's called the bridge illustration. Anybody familiar with it? Okay, good. So you've got God over here, and you've got us as man over here. A little stick figure who needs to hit the gym and can put some weight on. All right, so you've got us over here, God on that side, and then you've got this gap in between that is a result of what? Sin, right? That sin produces death. The wages of sin is death. And here's the problem, is that all of us, Romans 3:23 tells us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Meaning that because of sin, what our sins equal is death. Which means that we are separated from God eternally. From the moment that we are born, we have sin in our hearts. And because that is true, we have this separation from God. Right? There was a result of Adam and Eve's initial sin in the garden. And the only hope that we have for that gap to be closed is through Jesus Christ. And the death that he paid, or the price that he paid through his death on the cross in your and I's place. That Jesus would suffer once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That's the only way that that gap is closed by one person, Jesus Christ. And the only way which we receive that, the only way that we move towards God, or that we're brought to God, is that you receive the free gift of salvation that is a result of Jesus Christ's payment for you and I on the cross. Okay? Some of you, that's not new information for you. Others of you, that's the best news that you'll ever hear in your entire life, is that there is a God who loves you so much to come and die for you, to pay a price that you never could pay on your own, so that you might spend eternity with God. But here's what Peter is saying in this text, is he is saying that the fact that there is even a ledge here, like the fact that you even have time in the first place, is the grace of God. Think about that for a second. Like, those of you who have never accepted this free gift of God for salvation in your life, the fact that you are alive, the fact that there is even a cliff right here, that you're not already dead in your sins and perishing for eternity, is the grace of God, because he wants you to know and accept the free gift of salvation which he paid through his son's life, Jesus Christ, for you and I. The fact that you have time in the first place is so that you would come to repentance and trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And here's the thing that you've got to know, is that you never know when this cliff is coming, right? You never know when the end of this road is here. Which means that the time that you have now, what Peter is telling them is, do not delay in your obedience to God. Do not delay in coming to him. The only moment which you know that you have right now is right now. That's it. And so what he's saying is, there is a God who loves you and paid a price for you and has given you time to respond to the grace which he has shown you in his son, Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? The fact that any of us have time in the first place is the grace of God. That he wants you to come to him, and that he paid a price so that you could. But then Peter doesn't stop there. I mean, he goes on and he says that this time is coming like a thief in the night, right? How many of you have ever heard Tim McGraw's song, Live Like You Were Dying, right? Like, I go skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing on 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu, right? Anybody ever heard that song? Look, admittedly, I don't have the golden pipes. That's why I wasn't leading worship up here, okay? But here's the deal. If Tim McGraw writes that song and he's thinking about, man, what are all the things that I would do if I knew that my time was coming, right? And let me tell you something. There is no problem with you going skydiving, with you going Rocky Mountain climbing, or with you going and riding a bull named Fu Manchu. But here's the deal. If you have not understood this truth, then you need to know the true purpose for your time. You need to know that the reason that you have time is not to do all of those things, but is to respond to a God who loved you and who paid a price for your life. That is why you have time in the first place. And I think Augustine said it well. He said this: God always promises grace to your repentance, but he does not promise tomorrow to your procrastination. I'll say that again. God always promises grace to your repentance, but he does not promise tomorrow to your procrastination, which means do not delay. Because if anybody dies separated from God, having never received the free gift of God in salvation, you spend eternity apart from him in hell. It's what the scripture says. So the fact that you're sitting here in this room this morning hearing this is God saying, hey, I love you. I paid a price for your life. Come to know me. That's why you've been given time in the first place. The second thing that we've got to know is that after you've come to repentance and trusted Christ as your Savior, is that God's plan for our time is that you would know whose time it is that you have. All right? So turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. We're going to read a couple verses. So James 4, verses 13 through 16. This is the word of God. This is what it says. Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So what James is telling these believers, these people that have accepted the free gift of God, eternal life, he's telling them, hey, the time which you have left here on earth that you still have is not your own. That your time, if you're saying, hey, tomorrow I'm going to go and do this and this and that, he's saying you're thinking about your life wrongly. You're thinking about your time wrongly. The time that you have is not your own time. The time that you have is God's time, which he's given to you so that you might spend it according to his will and his purposes for you, right? It's kind of like this, right? My parents would go on date nights, and whenever we got to a certain age, me and my brothers, I have three other brothers, we would just get to stay home by ourselves and kick it, and my mom would give us her credit card, and she'd just say, hey, you can order pizza, and we're like, what? Like, we just got mom's credit card? And so here's what you got to know, is that like me and my brothers in high school, we're all within 2 years of each other. And you might, if you're adding math, you're like, that doesn't make sense. I have two adopted brothers, so we're all literally within 2 years of each other. And so we're all growing boys. We're all really hungry dudes. And so one of my brothers is like, yo, we got mom's credit card. This ain't our money. Like, we're buying pizza for the whole block. Like, everybody's getting a pizza. And then on the other side of that, we have my other brother, who's the biggest penny pincher ever. I mean, this dude saves everything he's got. And so he's like, no, we're buying one medium pizza for all of us. And we're like, bruh, like one medium pizza for all of us? That's like a slice a person. Like, why would we do that? We have this money. And so we were going back and forth with each other on this whole deal and trying to figure out how many we were going to buy and how we were going to use our parents' money. And so you want to know what we did? In a shocking display of maturity, like I still look back, I'm like, wow, this is huge. In a shocking display of maturity, we get on the phone with my parents. And we're like, hey, mom, how many pizzas can we buy? And she's like, just buy as many as you want. We're like, what? Like, that's amazing, right? But here's what, I tell you that story is because what we realized in that moment, or at least some of us realized, is that we were about to spend somebody's money who wasn't, it wasn't ours, right? Like, we were about to purchase something with money that was not our own. And I think what James is trying to tell you is the way that you think about your life and your time should be much the same. Is that the way that you spend your time should be in accordance with the one who gave you that time. You shouldn't spend it however you want to spend it or whatever you think is best for you, right? Because your time that you've been given has been given to you by the Lord. And so he's telling you, every single one of us is living on borrowed time, meaning that time isn't our own. And so the way that we spend it, we must spend it according to his purposes and will for us. And I think a lot of us, guys, I honestly read this passage and it really convicts me. It really, really convicts me because it is shocking how I can go throughout a day and just spend my time however I want to spend it without even thinking about the fact that this is the Lord's time which he's entrusted to me. And essentially it's like I'm just taking that credit card and just swiping it however I want to swipe it, right? And James is just saying, man, that boasting, that way of thinking is evil. It's a mockery to God. And here's the thing. If somebody were spending my credit card without me knowing it and just spending it on whatever they wanted to and draining my bank account, me and my flesh, I'd probably be pretty upset, pretty angry, pretty frustrated, right? Probably a lot of us would be. But here's the thing that you've got to know is that God is not angry with you. He's not upset with you. He's not disappointed in you. But what he is that he's grieved because he knows that the only way that you're ever going to experience the full and meaningful life that he intends for you is that if you spend his time according to his purposes for you, not however you want to spend it, but however he has desired for you to spend the time that he's given you, right? Because he's a good, loving father. It's who he is. And so the only way that you're going to find meaning in your time is if you spend it according to the one who's given it to you. So that brings me to my last point. You're like, that's great. That's all very helpful. But what if we saw every moment as God's? How would your life change? And that brings me to our third point, is that God's plan for our time is that we would know how to wisely spend our time. So read with me in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. This is the word of God. It says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so Paul is saying here in this passage, he's saying two things. He's saying, one, reflect. Consider carefully how you're walking, how you're living. Look carefully at how you walk. He's saying reflect, meaning you should ask yourself the question, how am I spending my time? And then the second thing that he's saying is that he's saying respond. He says that look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. That word best use in the Greek is a word that's, it's called exagorazo, which means literally to purchase or to buy. And so if, how many of you have ever heard the phrase time is money, right? Anybody? Time is money. Because literally, Paul is saying the same thing. He's saying that the way that you use your time is as if you are spending it. You are investing it. You are making a transaction. You are buying something. You're purchasing something with your time, right? Which means that the things that you spend your time on show what you truly value. They show what you think is important to you, right? And so here's what you got to know, is that you should wrestle with the fact, you should wrestle with whether or not we should spend 4 hours on Netflix watching Stranger Things, right? Like, is that the best use of my time? Or should I spend all day Saturday watching college football? That's really tough for me. I love college football, right? But should I spend all day, every day, just soaking in things that truly don't make any difference for the kingdom of God? Look, some of those things in moderation aren't bad. Don't hear me saying that you should just never watch any TV ever. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that we should consider how we're spending our time. It's like this. I got married 8 months ago. And one of the things that you have to do once you get married is you got to think about how you're going to spend your money. Okay, and so here's a helpful tip for all of you whenever you get married someday, is there's an app called Mint. And what this app does is that you link it to your bank account and it just files in all of your transactions for you. It's amazing. And so it shows you where you've spent money, how much you've spent, and then it helps you create budget categories. But it helps you just track your expenditures. The reason I tell you that is because I think what Paul is trying to get us to do is to, much the same way, is he's like, hey, if there was an app that pulled in a log of all of the ways that you're spending your time, where, what would it say? What would your account read? How would you be spending your time, knowing that your time is not your own? What would your account say and what would it read, right? And here's the thing that we've got to know is that a wise use of your time means that you're going to invest it into something that you will be excited to stand before God and show him one day, right? He's entrusted to you time, and then one day we will stand before him, and a wise use of it will be something that we stand before him and say, God, here's what I was able to do with what you gave me. I did the best that I could to love people, to serve people, to care for others. And to make your gospel known in my school and in my family and with my friends. And here's what I was able to do with it. It doesn't come just from my words. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We're all one day going to stand before God and give an account for our life, how we use the time that he gave us. I just want you to think about this for a second. Whenever you consider the unfathomable glory of God, When you actually get to meet Jesus, our Savior, face to face, and the moment where you see Him in all of your splendor, think about how tragic it would be if on that day, you know, we're there and we're just, man, here's my, you know, national rank in Fortnite, you know? Like, here's my grades in school. Here's my athletic accomplishments. And it's all the time you've spent not caring about or thinking about how God would have had you spend your time and how He would have had you use your life to advance His mission here on earth. There's a reason, guys, that whenever you came to know Christ, that you didn't immediately just get raptured up to heaven, right? Like, there's a moment that you didn't just get baptized and they didn't just hold you under the water, right? There's a reason they brought you up out of that water. And it's so that you would live your life for God's glory and the good of others. And I will just tell you, there is no better thing to invest your life in than that. For some of you, just look at your leaders sitting here in this room right now. They're not getting paid to be here. They're not getting paid to be at your small group every Wednesday night to lead you and serve you. They're doing that because they want their lives to matter for the kingdom of God, to invest in you so that someday you will invest in others, that you will push forth His glory and His goodness throughout the earth, that others may know the greatest story of redemption and hope in Christ. That is a life worth living. And here's what I just want to say to close. I'm not saying, guys, that you should never watch TV. You should never do well in sports. You should never do well in school. I'm not saying any of those things. So don't hear me saying that. But what I am saying is that, let's say you go and watch a college football game. Invite some buddies with you who don't know the Lord and just love them and hang with them and use that opportunity to invest in relationships and love the people around you. Or if, I mean, you can do all kinds of things, but wherever you go, just be God's person there and advance His kingdom through that means. Does that make sense? So I'm not telling you just go in your bedroom, lock the door, and read your Bible all day. That's not what I'm telling you at all. But I'm just saying, let your life count in your school, in your house, with your friends, in all of the different areas that you're in. Make your life count for the glory of God and advancing His kingdom. And in close, I just want you to think about this. The reason that I wish I would have heard this message whenever I was your age is because right now you probably have more time than I do. You probably have more time left in your life than your leaders do. I don't know that for sure, but if you look at statistics, that's what it would say, right? All of us in here, the adults in this room, have already spent 10 more years in our lives than you have. We can never get those 10 years back. But you have those 10 years and the years past that to come. You right now have more time than I will have for the rest of my life, probably. I mean, Lord willing. Think about that. And think about what God wants to do in your life, in your school, guys. Think about what He can do if you'll just surrender your life to Him and be His people and live on mission wherever you are. That's my hope and that's my prayer. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank You for this time this morning to open Your word and to read its truths, knowing that, Father, what we see in Your word is profitable for us, that it's intended for our good and Your glory and the benefit of those around us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would wisely use our time, that we would steward it for Your glory. God, that someday when we see You and meet You face to face, Lord, as we lay our crowns at Your feet, God, we rejoice that we've given all of the things which we have, our time, our possessions, everything to You to advance Your kingdom. Lord, would You do something through us that only You can do? Lord, may we use every moment knowing that it is Yours and it's to be stewarded for Your glory. We love You, Lord. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for being here. Y'all have a good week. Enjoy your last week off of school. Happy